हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 26, Stimulation for Ecstatic Love. Verse 21, 348. Two-piece outfit refers to a lower cloth wrapped around the waist and an upper shawl. So they're not counting the dhoti, you know, because you're going to be wearing that. So, you know, so, you know what I'm saying? So then they're counting then what's there. Because that you have the dhoti, then you're going to have something wrapped around the waist, because technically the dhoti is not considered fully, you know, complete in itself on its own, right? You have something wrapped around it at the waist, right? Does that make sense? So if you're wearing like a kurta or something, then basically it covers, so it does the same effect. Yes. But if not, then one would have something around the waist, and then one would have the chadar. Yes.
Like this is a vishti.
Sorry?
This lower cloth is vishti.
That I'm not sure. Doesn't say the
same. Yes. Some eye is that in this lower cloth, it means it's some distance.
Yeah, it means you put it around the waist, and it can be just kind of around the waist. But it closes the top. It can also go down a little bit more. You know, you hang down the back a little bit more. You can make it all kinds of fancy things. But generally it's you. So it's a very common thing. It's a very standard thing. You see it in the pujaris who are just wearing dhoti, that they'll do it a lot. So like in South Shri's, well, generally it will be another, you know, like putting on a colored, nice colored piece of cloth. It'll be like you put on a gumsha, or you put it on top of the dhoti, you know. In Kerala, they'll make a triangle and then put it so the knots in the front, the triangles in the back. You can also, I think, Puri, then they'll take it and just scrunch it up, you know, and then wrap it around, same like Bengal, like that. Or you also have that one style, sometimes you see devotees wearing it, where the front pleats, they take them and fold it in such a way that they go around, you know, so that you have kind of like, you know, so kind of like that gumsha around, that, you know, short cloth around, you know, goes down to like the knees, or a little above the knees, or goes all the way around. They'll do it with one piece of cloth, because here Krishna, there's the, you know, the Brahmas don't necessarily have as much, so they'll use that, you know, with less cloth, they'll do the same effect. So you're trying to get more of a covering on the upper part of the dhoti. Like the lower part doesn't require much of the upper part. Like that. You also see Radharani, she would wear like that, though they're wearing a gagra, they still wear a sash, you know, around the waist, like that. It's the same principle. You know, so in other words, the Vedic system, low riders would not be considered very cultured. But you can say is that to counter that, because, you know, low riders, means that those pants or jeans that really down on your hips, so they're really, really far down, then they're not up kind of at the waist, they're below that. But to counter that, then, you know, you see those who are wear these, like, how you say, some kind of brand name underwear, you know, like that, that are up a bit, so then that way they kind of dress the upper part to, like that. Yeah, so this is the, how you say, some of the Mlecha and Yavana solutions. But you see in the higher class, like you have a tuxedo, then they would have the cummerbund. That would be the same kind of principle. If you have the pants, and then you have something where that kind of dresses the pants, the top of the pants. That makes sense. So it's a standard kind of principle. Just different modes have different ways to accomplish this. Right? Okay. So if someone's wearing a dhoti and not wearing a shirt, but you can see right through the dhoti and all that, that means that's where they need the other piece of cloth wrapped around. Right? Like that. You know, unless you, you know, look like Shah Rukh Khan, then probably no one will complain. But if you don't look like that, then better you wear something.
Now, this doesn't also indicate that we need to select the tea with not transparent.
Yes, so it's either using thicker cloth, or is it here, because they would use thin cloth, is you have another cloth that's wrapped around the waist. Yes. You know? So like that, it's just up to you. Like you see in the boys in the school, they all have that.
Yes.
You know, it's like that. The new ones don't, because they'll just lose it, but once they've figured out that, you know. You know, if you observe the kids for some time, they don't leave their head somewhere and all that, or, you know, like that, then you know, then you can figure out that they can start wearing. So it's just a natural part of it. It looks very proper. Okay. An example from the Mukundastika of Stavavali. May Mukunda, wearing on his hips a yellow dhoti, which derides the glory of a pile of gold. Right, a pile of gold. Now, we're not just talking a little, you know, something on there. We're talking a pile of gold. You know, how much splendor that must have. Right? With reddish upper cloth, tinged with the passion for his beloved, satisfied the desire of my eyes. Jiva Goswami. Itam vastram tadhana, dressed with cloth of this color, refers to the previously mentioned lower and upper cloth. Another version of the verse has Kanaka Nivaha Shobha Nindi Vastram Nitambe Pari Dathad Uparishtan Navya Vahlika Valgu Tanu Ruchim Anu Rage Na Vitam Va Priyaya. Mukunda, who wears on his hips a cloth deriding the glory of a heap of gold, and on the upper body cloth attractively glowing with the delicate beauty of saffron, as if colored with love for Radha. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's probably supposed to be on his hips, no? Okay. One, his hips. Two, he wears yellow. Okay. On his hips he wears yellow cloth, because that is the complexion of his beloved. On top he wears a brilliant red cloth, which indicates, so brilliant here means it's just, it's that saffron, it's delicate beauty. But it's brilliant, because brilliant in this context means the intensity of emotion, the intensity of bhava. Like that. So that's brilliant. Like, I think we came across it before, or it's coming up. That the emotions, then they have different levels. There's like smoldering, then the fire is there, and then it's big, and then it's brilliant. So you have these levels of how much the emotion can be manifest. So when here in these kind of contexts, it says brilliant, it doesn't just mean it's shiny, that you got to wear sunglasses or something. It means that it carries that flavor, that intensity of the bhav, and generates that. That's why he's saying that, you know, may satisfy the desire of my, you know, may I see that, because it's so wonderful, that devotion, you know, that exchange of affection between them. So therefore, he's wearing his yellow dhoti, and he's wearing that cloth around. And in this case, he's talking, they seem to be calling both the dhoti, because the dhoti goes with that, the two go together. You know, it's just like you say a suit, it means pants and a coat. It doesn't mean just pants or just a coat. Does that make sense? Yeah. On top, he wears a brilliant red cloth, which indicates his attraction for his beloved. That cloth indicates his attraction, which is like attachment, to the gold color of his beloved. Priya, ya, priyam, varnam, eva, raga, yuktam. So it's still that golden color, but with more saffron. I mean, so saffron is a yellow color like his dhoti, but it also has that tinge of red in it. You know, so it'll go that little bit more, that. So that indicates. One is her complexion, and then his chatter is indicating his affection for her. Yeah. 21350. So we can see is whatever Krishna does, it's about relationships, it's about rasa. So it's not just, you know, some boring kind of thing. Yeah. 21350. The four-piece outfit refers to skirt, turban, sash, and lower garment. Skirt or shirt? No, shirt. Okay. So this must be when he's wearing the, you know, the bundies and stuff like that. Like you see sometimes in the winter, then he'll have the bundies, and then he'll wear the big turbans and all those kind of things. Right? And then when you have this shirt, you'll have the turban, the sash you put around the as a belt around the, Prabhupada will just say belt piece of that. That's, or sometimes he says sash. Around that, you've ever seen those old like Mughal kind of paintings and all that, that kind of style. They'll wear that long, long Mughal bundi. It comes down to their knees or lower. And then, but they'll also put a belt on the outside of that. The other one is directly on the dhoti. This one is out, not on the dhoti, it's on the shirt. Like that. And then with that goes a turban because it's colder, so you wear the turban. You know, before he'll always have something in the hair, but he doesn't have to have the bigger turbans. And so here, then the lower garment, then not counting the dhoti in this one. Because right? Otherwise you're not going to have the shirt and all that and not the dhoti unless you're a Punjabi, right? So, but, yeah. I mean, you ever seen them with those big shirts and they don't have a dhoti on there?
They're at Walmart.
Hmm?
Walmart, but not Punjab.
Oh, okay.
I've been there, though.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you've seen it in Walmart?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you know what we're talking about. 21351. The enemy of Kamsa, smiling in great joy, wearing a pink dhoti, orange turban, an excellent vest of shining gold, and multicolored sash, creates joy in us. Interesting. Jiva Goswami. Patala means a combination of white and red. Rose, colored according to the Amar Kosh. Verse 347 mentioned other colors besides orange, red, and yellow. Yeah, so he sees he has all these different nice colors.
It's always in the same
type of color. Yeah, it'll be basically the same. He's, in this one, he is giving the example, and other times it might be slightly different. Yeah. But the point is that it's within these contexts, because these are the different ways he would dress. Mm-hmm. When it's warmer and stuff like that, then it'll be the two-piece.
Yes.
It's colder, he'll use the four-piece.
Mm-hmm.
You also see times where, I think Prabhupada's mentioning that he'll have the dhoti, the sash, the chadar, and the turban. So then in that case, there's no shirt.
Yes.
So that's generally what we're used to seeing.
Yes.
Like that. We don't generally so much paint Krishna with the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But you see a lot of the Mughal paintings, and they will use it also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll have both. But. The wise say that the multi-piece outfit consists of many pieces of cloth, cut and uncut, of many colors, suitable for performing artists. So depending upon the situation, he'll put it, and then he'll look, that's why he says he looks like a dancing actor. You know, he comes out with all the nice colors and everything, so he's fit for performing, you know, dramas. Now going back the other way, it's not good enough to just taste it one way, you have to taste it both ways. Monkeys on the roof. O slender-thighed woman, Madhava, the color of the rain cloud, effulgent like a young elephant king, bedecked for a multitude of pastimes, effulgent with the stylish creation of cut and uncut cloth, in white, gold, blue, and red colors, is giving me bliss. Right, so that the, what do you call it, the, so he's different styles, because cut will be that it's sewn, you know, into something. Uncut will mean that it's just like, you know, regular cloth, you rip it into links that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because the other one, you don't cut it, you rip it. Right, but if you're making a shirt, you have to cut and make all the. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's apparel and garlands. Generally, there are four kinds of garments on the body of Krishna. His shirt, turban, belt, and wearing garments. In Vrindavan, he used to put on reddish garments with a golden shirt on his body and an orange-colored turban on his head. The different kinds of belts combined with this enchanting smile used to always increase the transcendental bliss of his associates. This dress of Krishna is mentioned as gorgeous, as a baby elephant is sometimes dressed in colorful clothing. So Krishna's gorgeousness was manifest by decoration with such colorful clothing on the different parts of his body. Jiva Goswami, Sannivesha means a created work. Kalabha Rat, Prabhu, means one who has the effulgence of the king of the young elephants. Both cotton and cloth are mentioned because cloth was used to make various ornaments by cutting, whereas the whole piece of cloth were used for shawls and turbans. Similar cloth was given by the weaver to Krishna when he first went to Mathura. The use of the word Shringarita denotes wearing fancy cloth, similar to that of a young elephant. Since Shringara can refer particularly to the elaborate dressing of an elephant on festive occasions. So that's where the term Shringara comes from. 21354. Hairstyles, applied cosmetics, garlands, body tilak, tilak on the forehead, betel nut preparations, and imitation lotuses are called accessories. See? So, accessories is an original thing. 21355. Tying the hair consists of tying the hair at the back of the neck, binding flowers in the hair, binding the hair in a knot at the top, and braiding the hair. Footnote 16. Veni refers to a braid, but the word used to describe it is simply gampana, gampana, strung together. The cosmetics are white, multicolored, and yellow.
The imitation lotus is mentioned in 354. Would those be made out of cut cloth, or would they be made out of something else?
Could be something else. Because Radharani also has, she has a play lotus, but it can also be a real lotus.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it can be imitation also. You know, maybe gold or jewels or just something nice. You know, if they make it out of cloth, it just probably be made out of whatever. Doesn't matter. It's just the variety that would be there. It's something to hold in the hand, something to keep yourself busy.
Yeah.
Especially the girls would use it. Like that, you know. So it's like, because much of the time you can see the men can have nothing, and their hands free, and it works. But for the women, there's generally always something.
Yes.
You know, if
yes.
nothing else, if they can't use the clothes or that, then they'll have those little purses. You know, that don't have straps, so they just hold it. Or so Radharani would have a lotus, and then here, so that way you keep yourself busy. Srila Prabhupada, Akalpa refers to the texture of Krishna's hair. His nicely dressed body anointed with sandalwood pulp and decorated with flower garlands. Right, so the cosmetics are white, multicolor, and yellow. Depends on what you put in the sandalwood. Right, so cosmetics means sandalwood with things in them. Right, just like when it says gandha or scent, it means sandalwood. And then you can put things in that, like you put camphor or saffron or that. That's gandha. Right? If you don't have that, then you can use like oils. But otherwise, if you have the sandalwood, they would just use that. His nicely dressed body anointed with sandalwood pulp and decorated with flower garlands. His tilak and his chewing pan. Krishna was decorated constantly in this akalpa process. Krishna's hair was sometimes decorated with flowers placed in the middle of his head, or else it was reaching down to his back. In this way, Krishna dressed his hair differently at different times. As for the ointment on his body, the pulp of sandalwood generally appeared to be white, and when it was mixed with saffron dye, it appeared to be yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you could also put kumkum and get red, or, you know, just depending on. Or what it means is some places you put white, some places you put this, you get different colors, you make different decorations. Does that make sense? So here, not so much braiding the hair, because specifically girls will braid the hair. But it doesn't mean that the hair is not put in things and tied and different things in different ways.
Krishna has always long hair.
Yeah, Yeah, somehow another. We haven't come across an incarnation as a soccer, you know, hooligan. No. So yeah, he always has long hair. Yeah. But it's not as long as the gopis. It'll be down to like shoulder length, like that kind of thing. Gopis, it'll be down to the calves. Calves. It means halfway between the knee and the ankle.
Okay.
That's how long their hair is.
Okay.
When you braid it, it'll be shorter.
Yes, yes.
But when it's not braided, it'll be that long. Jiva Goswami. Juta refers to hair tied at the back of the neck. Kavari refers to hair decorated with flowers and other itemas. Chuda refers to hair bound at the top of the head. Veni refers to hair tied and hanging far down the back.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because then sometimes you take the front and then you bring it around the back so it's out of the way. So whatever's in front of the ears, it'll be brought back behind and tied at the back, and the back of the hair just goes straight down.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yes, yes. That's the idea, is you have all these different kinds of aspects. Like that. 21356. There are three types of garland. Vaijayanti, jewel garland, and forest garland. They may also extend over the chest, serve as a capulet around the top knot, or hang from the neck downwards. Jiva Goswami. The Vaijayanti garland is five colored and hangs down to the knees. The forest garland is made of leaves and flower and extends to the feet. Further differences are then described. Vaikaksha extends horizontally across the chest. So that must mean it's a shorter one. Right? Mm-hmm. Apida garland or chapulet girdles the top knot on the head. So you make these very fine ones and they just put it around. Because you tie the knot there and then you put that so it's the gap, so it fills the gap and it looks a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The pralamba hangs straight down from the throat. The body tilak, chitram, is yellow, reddish, filled with pictures of makaris. Footnote 17. Makar is often translated as crocodile, the carrier of Ganga Devi. However, usually in temple art, it is a combination of many animals. Jaws of a crocodile with pointed teeth, scales of a fish, tail of a peacock. The trunk of an elephant, eyes of a monkey, and the tusks of a boar. Makari indicates a female makara. The term makari patara, however, can also indicate curly patterns in general. Right, because of the nose, it'll always have that curl, you know, because of the elephant thing. So just curls in general will also be indicated by the term. The forehead tilak, visheshaka, is also yellow, white, or red. Intelligent persons who also modify these into other colors spontaneously. Yeah, but it says intelligent, so it has to be done intelligently, right?
Yes.
Right. In other words, it's white means it's the chandan, you know, yellow would be the gopi chandan, or it would be with what do you call it, saffron, or then red would be with kumkum, like that. So this idea is one or the other, or this or that, but whatever. He wears all these like that. So for us, we generally just use the Gopi Chandan one, like that. But you see other sampradayas, they prefer like the red or other colors.
For Maharaj, when Krishna was like a child, Mother Yashoda were dressing him like that.
Yeah, she would do all the dressing. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna used to put a Vaijayanti garland around his neck. This Vaijayanti garland is made of flowers of at least five different colors. Such a garland always was always long enough to touch Krishna's knees or feet. Besides this garland of flowers, there were other kinds of flower garland too, sometimes decorating his head, sometimes hanging around his neck and chest. Artistic paintings with sandalwood pulp and colored sandalwood were also to be found on the body of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right, so it's basically all off of the sandalwood. It's like the idea. Yeah, because you see, as the big garlands, you can have the small garlands, you can have, you know, all that kind of thing. 21358. Oh, friend, the moon of his face shines with betel nut and faultless hairstyle. A yellow garland rests on his raised chest. He wears radiant tilak on his forehead, and his body becomes charming with the wealth of designs made of finely ground saffron ointment. Today, the dark-bodied, attractive Madhava gives bliss to my eyes. Srila Prabhupada. One gopi addressed her friend and began to praise the bodily features of Krishna. She praised his blackish complexion. The reddish color of chewing pan enhanced his beauty hundreds of times. His curling hair on his head, the kumkuma red spots on his body, and the tilak on his forehead. Jiva Goswami. Alika means forehead. Patrangulihi refers to the designs drawn on the body. The form described above fills completely, dubte, with pleasure, mudham, the eyes, which become the receptacles of that beauty. 21359. So Krishna's beauty, that's such an attractive feature of Krishna. Mm-hmm. He's always dressed so wonderfully, like you said, like an actor, you know, for the stage. He's always dressed so attractively. But just that aspect, then he's so attractive. And we see the gopis also, they dress very attractively for Krishna. Like that. So it's very much beauty, therefore, is that primary quality. And from that, then all the other qualities are used to enhance and bring that out. 21359. The jeweled ornaments, mandanam, include crowns, earrings, necklaces, brooches, bracelets, rings, armbands, and anklets. 21360. Colorful belt, an incomparable diadem, earrings of alluring diamonds, a pearl necklace, spotless bracelets, pearl-studded brooch, delightful rings, and anklets filled with sweetness. These profound ornaments attain the status of ornaments because they are decorated by the beauty of the limbs of Krishna. Right, so ornament means it causes beauty. So they attain that position of being beautiful because of being on Krishna.
Yes.
Like that. Srila Prabhupada. His helmet, his earrings, his necklace, his four garments, the bangles on his head, the rings on his fingers, his ankle bells and his flute. These are the different features of Krishna's ornaments. Krishna, the enemy of Aga, always looked beautiful with his incomparable helmet, his earrings made of diamonds, his necklace of pearls, his bangles, his embroidered garments, and the beautiful rings on his fingers. Jiva Goswami, Haras Taraha, he refers to a string of the most perfect pearls. Urmi means a ring for the finger. Instead of Agharehe, enemy of Aga, sometimes Saurer, son of Vasudeva, is seen. Bracelet and ring are in the singular to signify the class. But actually, Krishna wore many bracelets and rings. It's like saying he possesses barley grain. Right? You don't have to say many barley grains. What do we actually mean? He possesses many barley grains. By mentioning the class, there's the suggestion of the individual item. So how many he wears, how he wants to wear, what combination. So you just say he has bangles and rings, right? The rule is, jatya kyayam, ekasmin bahu vachanam anyatarasyam. The name of a class of objects is in the singular and optionally in the plural. Panini 1258. So generally you refer to them in the singular, but you can refer to them if you want to bring out how that there's so many. But just by mentioning in the singular, you know that there can be many. Like that. 21361. When these decorations are made of flowers, they are called sylvan ornaments. The drawings used curved lines painted on the forehead and body are made of minerals. 21362. An example of the smile from Krishna Karinamrita. O Krishna, your gentle smile which removes all pain by producing an unbroken stream of rasa of the highest bliss are disgracing all other rasas and emitting an unrestricted, I guess, ocean of nectar. Yeah. So when silva means they can also be made out of flowers. The same bangles and all the other things can be made out of flowers, like that. Or you can see a combination of, like you could have the top knot with the flowers there and the other bangles or anything. 21363. An example of the fragrance of his limbs. Since the unprecedented river of fragrance flowing everywhere is caused by the hairs of us self-satisfied sages to stand on end, I think the enemy of Madhu, a faultless ocean of fragrance, has come to Krukshetra to enjoy himself on the occasion of the eclipse. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna is sometimes called Vanamali. Vana means forest and Mali means gardener. So Vanamali refers to one who extensively uses flowers and garlands on different parts of his body. Krishna is dressed like this not only in Vrindavan, but also in the battlefield of Krukshetra. Seeing such colorful dress and garlands of different flowers, some great sages prayed, quote, Lord Krishna was going to the battlefield of Krukshetra not to fight, but to grace all of the devotees with his presence. Right? So he's dressing up nicely so that everybody will be very attractive. 21364, his flute. The fickle sound of Krishna's flute reveals this excellence by breaking the meditation of the exalted sages. Criticizing the sweetness of nectar and insistently preaching respect for the edicts of Cupid. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's flute. As far as this flute is concerned, it is said that the vibration of this wonderful instrument was able to break the meditation of the greatest sages. Krishna was thus challenging Cupid by advertising his transcendental glories all over the world. Right, so Cupid can't necessarily break the meditation of the sages, right? Because like you see, Cupid tried with, what was his name? Markandeya. And it didn't work out. Like everybody got really worried, you know, but here is that here, Krishna, he can break all their meditation. So he's in this way challenging Cupid. 21365. So he can attract everyone by his flute.
Nobody can resist. Nobody can resist.
No. Even Kamsa is always thinking of Krishna, right? There are three types of flute: the Venu, the Murali, and the Vamsika. 21366. The flute, which is 12 fingers long, named Pavika, is called Venu, 18. One finger is 0.75 inches, thus the Venu is about 9 inches long. Yeah, because this, that would be 12 fingers. Let me start from here to here. Because if you put that together, 4, 4, and 4, it'll be the same as that. So he has a very small flute. The sweet-sounding Murari is 2 hands long. 2 hands, that means... No, it's 24 fingers is 1 hand. It means it's actually 3 feet. Because it says 2 hands. So is this in the original here? Or this is what they put in, the translator?
The translation book.
Because one hand is 24 fingers, so it's 48 fingers, so it's 36 inches. So it's about, let's say, 90 centimeters.
Okay.
That's the Murali. With a hole at the end and 4 holes for producing sounds. 213, 68, 69. The Vamsika is 17 fingers long with 9 holes. So it's 8 means 18. So 12, and then another 5. Okay, so it'd be that big. Okay.
How many centimeters?
No, it says here 12.75 inches. So then that's it's just a little, probably like 31, 32 centimeters. 8 holes for playing notes are half a finger in diameter and spaced half a finger apart. Right, so that there won't be a full finger, there'll be half, there'll be small holes. A hole for blowing is placed 1.5 fingers from the 8th hole and is 1 finger in diameter. So the blowing one will be bigger like that, and it's 1.5, so, you know, just 1.5 of those away from the one end. There are 4 fingers space remaining at the end of the flute, and 3 fingers space remaining at the end of the flute. Oh, at the head of the flute, and 3 spaces remaining at the end of the flute. So all those holes, there's 8 holes, they're each half a finger with half a finger across, right? And then there'll be, so then between that, then you have eight holes and half, so that means 8 fingers. Right, and so then you have, and then you have the main hole, which is 1.5 from that. Mm-hmm. So now you have 8, 9.5. It's 1, so it's 10.5. Mm-hmm. And so that means then there'll be 4 fingers left at one side at the bottom, yeah, and 3 fingers left at the top. Yeah. So that's how you get 17 fingers. Jiva Goswami, the phrase Ardhan Gulan Taron Manam, width of half a finger, means the distance between 2 holes. There are 7 spaces between 8 holes. It is half a finger in diameter, which is also the dimension of the holes themselves. Instead of Tata Shardhan Gulat at a distance of 1.5 fingers, sometimes Taton Gulan Tare at the distance of 1 finger is found. But the former is correct, since that fits the description of the total length, which is 17 fingers. Accepting a distance of 1 finger would bring the total length to 16.5 fingers, making the flute half a finger short. Therefore, that version has no foundation. Right? People may say that, but it's not what it is. Now, the word, it's interesting, is that it seems that this Vamsi is very popular, because they give so much detail on it. Well, the other ones they just mentioned, it's this size, like the Venu. Then it just mentioned it's 12 fingers long. Didn't say anything about the else. The other one it said that it's long and it has so many holes like that. Didn't say, but in this one they give the details. Now the word Angulam is without indication of measure. The ending Matram measure has been omitted because the word Anguli is understood to be a unit of measure. Right, so it'll be according to Krishna's hand.
Yeah.
Also, the word anguli changes to angula at the end of a compound preceded by a numeral or indeclinable. Footnote 19. Panini 5486. Right, so then according to that, so you'll get it. So by using anguli, you know it's a measurement, but then it also changes to angula because of the grammatical rule. Mm-hmm. And when it's the end of the compound. 21370 to 371. When space between the mouth hole and the first hole for notes is 10 fingers, the Vamsi is called Mahananda, great delight, and Sammohini, the bewitcher. The space is 12 fingers, the Vamsi is called Akarshani, the attractor. The space is 14 fingers, the Vamsi is called Anandini, bliss giver. Right, so that first one is the main measurement. Now, if you extend the distance,
yes,
between the blowing hole and the finger holes, because, yes, they all stay in the same places as far as the ends of the flute and the end themselves,
mm-hmm,
right? So now you explain the space between where you blow and where you the 8 finger holes. Mm-hmm. That then makes these other forms of the Vamsi. Mm-hmm. So then you have the Vamsi Ka will be the short one. Right, and then you have these other ones, the Mahananda, the Sammohini, the Akarshini, and the Anandini. Jiva Goswami. Should be understood that there's an increase in the space between the mouth hole and the finger holes by 10, 12, and 14 fingers in these flutes. So then it'll give a different sound and all that. So that's how we're seeing these bigger flutes. Because we're generally always having the flutes with with the eight holes like that. So we're generally using the varieties of bumsi. So if it's shorter or longer, this or that. 21372. The Anandini is a favorite with the cowherd people and is also called Vamshuli. The vamsis are respectfully made of jewels, gold, and bamboo. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, there are three kinds of flutes used by Krishna. One is called Venu, one is called Murali, and the third is called Vamsi. Venu is very small, not more than 6 inches long, with six holes for whistling. Murali is about 18 inches long, with a hole at the end and four holes on the body of the flute. Okay, well here Prabhupada's putting 18. This kind of flute produces a very enchanting sound. The Vamsi flute is about 15 inches long, with nine holes on its body. Krishna used to play on these three flutes occasionally when they were needed. Krishna has a longer Vamsi, which is called Mahananda, or some Mohini. When it's still longer, it's called Akarshini. When it's even longer, it's called Anandini. The Anandini flute is very pleasing to the cowherd boys. It is technically called Vamshuli. These flutes were sometimes decked with jewels. Sometimes they're made of marble, and sometimes of hollow bamboo. When the flute is made of jewels, it is called San Mohini. When it's made of gold, it is called Akarshini. So generally, the jeweled one would always be this San Mohini, and the gold one, the Akarshini. A wild buffalo horn with gold covering at both ends and jewel inlay in the middle is called Madhura Ghosha, rumbling thunder. Jiva Goswami. Gavala means the horn of a wild buffalo. This, however, is only a representative name and indicates the horn of a spotted antelope and other horns as well. The horn is bound with gold at both ends. Agrima, paschima. Antelope. Right, yeah. So it can be antelope, be all these different kinds. The main point is it's a horn. It's made out of horn, and it is used as a horn. 21374. Bitten by the flute, like a scorpion with natural poisonous venom, in the form of its shrill sound, the gopi, Taravali, leader of a group, drank some milk in the form of the sound of a small buffalo horn in order to counteract the poison. But rather than mitigate the burning poison of the flute's sound, it increased the pain twofold. So she had heard the flute and was so attracted by Krishna that she thought to remedy that she would hear the sound of Krishna playing the buffalo horn. But instead it just made her condition worse. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's buffalo horn. Krishna used a buffalo horn as a bugling instrument. This instrument was always highly polished and circled with gold bands. And on the middle there was a hole. Right, because the gold bands would hold it together. Right? Because otherwise then, you don't want it to crack or anything. So they put a gold band around the two ends. Regarding these instruments, there's a metaphorical statement about a gopi named Taravali. It's said that Taravali was bitten by the most venomous snake of Krishna's flute. Then, in order to neutralize the poisonous effect, she drank the milk produced by the buffalo horn in the hand of Krishna. But instead of decreasing the poisonous effect, it increased it 1,000 times. The gopi was thus put into the most miserable poison condition. 21375. An example of his anklets. Having heard the sound of Krishna's ankle bells, I have become extremely impatient to see him, and am possessed with an intense zeal. But I cannot leave the place because my elders are present in front of me. Srila Prabhupada. The attraction of Krishna's leg bells. A certain gopi once said to a friend, "My dear friend, when I hear the sound of the leg bells of Sri Krishna, I immediately started to go out of the house to see him. But most regrettably, my superiors were present just before me at the time, and I could not go out." 21376. The conch. The conch with the spiral turning to the right is called Panchajanya. 21377. The sound of the king of conches, Panchajanya, blown by Krishna, wanders throughout the world, causing abortions in the wives of the demons, announcing auspiciousness to the inhabitants of Swarga, and making the hair stand on end. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's conch shell. Krishna's conch shell is known as Panchajanya. This Panchajanya conch is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna sounded it before the battle of Kurukshetra. It is said that when Lord Krishna blows on his transcendental conch shell, the wives of the demons become subject to abortions, and the wives of the demigods become blessed with all auspiciousness. In this way, the sound of Krishna's conch shell used to vibrate and circulate all over the world. Shiva Goswami, the expression, causing abortions of the wives of the demons, indicates chastising the demons by Krishna's playful action. Nandikara means a public reciter of good news. Madhavad Mata Dhamna means whose body is blown by Madhava. Right, so Krishna blows on the conch shell, and then this creates auspiciousness for those who are surrendered, and for those who are not, then, you know, that fear of battle and all that then causes problems. 21378. An example of his footprints from the 10th canto. Increasingly agitated by ecstasy at seeing the Lord's footprints, his bodily hair standing on end because of his pure love, and his eyes filled with tears, Akura jumped down from his chariot and began rolling about among those footprints, exclaiming, "Ah, this is the dust from my master's feet." Srimad Bhagavatam 10:38-26. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's footprints. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that when Akura, who drove Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura, saw the footprints of Krishna on the land of Vrindavan, his ecstatic love for Krishna increased so much that the hairs on his body stood up. His eyes became overflooded with tears, and in such ecstasy he jumped out of the chariot, fell down on the ground, and began to chant, "How wonderful this is, how wonderful this is." Right, so these are all, as we said, he has the qualities, and then his paraphernalia and other aspects, bodily features, then the paraphernalia and the bodily features, and then his other accessories. All these are then Udipan. They're all inherent in Krishna because these are all non-different, but at the same time as they're all individual Udipans for attracting the minds of the devotees. 21378. We did that. 21379. Another example. O friends, understand that Krishna has gone to the bank of the Jamuna by this path for certain, because the markings of the flag, thunderbolt, goad, and lotus are attracting my eyes. Srila Prabhupada. Similar feelings were expressed by the gopis when they were going to the bank of the Jamuna and saw Krishna's footprints in the dust. When Krishna walked on the ground of Vrindavan, the marks of his soul, flag, thunderbolt, fish, a rod for controlling elephants, and a lotus flower, would be imprinted upon the dust of the land. The gopis became overwhelmed simply by seeing those marks on the ground. So, this may be an example that may or may not have any meaning to anyone. That in Vrindavan, in a long time ago, like before the meteor hit and the dinosaurs all became extinct, then in Vrindavan you had this super fine dust. And you could walk around on the Parikram path in this dust. You could see how you could see the imprints on Krishna's foot. Now it's surrounded by asphalt, so you wouldn't quite get that, you know, unless it was a really hot day and the asphalt was kind of melted and Krishna stepped in and stuff like that. Otherwise, you wouldn't get the same effect. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I don't remember the same dust here.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, so it's the same. Because it's the same place. Yeah, I haven't seen it for long. Because the problem with dust is it gets on your feet. That's how you say. City people are very allergic to dust on their feet. Especially if the dust happens to get a little wet. Then they're like, say? Yeah, totally. Okay, so. gopis became overwhelmed simply at seeing those marks on the ground. Example of his place. What to speak of seeing all the places of rare glory where the Lord performed pastimes? Even hearing the name of Mathura steals away my mind. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's places of pastimes. One devotee has exclaimed, "Oh, I have not as yet visited the wonderful places where the pastimes of the Lord were performed, but simply by hearing the name of Mathura, I have become overwhelmed with joy." 21381. An example of Tulsi from Krishna Karinamrita. O Tulsi bud from Krishna's, from lotus-eyed Krishna's chaplet, I make one prayer to you. Inform the chariot driver of Arjuna that I desire the shelter of his lotus feet. Okay. So it seems they also use Tulsi in the, what do you call it, for tying the hair and stuff, yeah. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's favorite plant, Tulsi. Lord Krishna is very fond of Tulasi leaves and buds. Because of Tulasi, buds are usually offered up to the lotus feet of Krishna. A devotee once prayed to the Tulsi buds to give him some information about the lotus feet of Krishna. So here it could mean the chaplet means that they were anklets. Mm-hmm. Like that. So it seems that just the chaplet could be anything that's small and like that. Devotee once prayed to the Tulsi buds to give him some information about the lotus feet of Krishna, of the Lord. The devotee expected that the Tulsi buds would know something about the glories of Lord Sri Krishna's lotus feet, right? Because they spend their time at Krishna's lotus feet, so they expected they would know something, so then they were talking to the Tulsi buds to please reveal. 21382. An example of the devotee as Udipan from the fourth canto. Jiva Goswami, yes. Avabhodya Partha Saratehe means Avabhodya Partha Saratim, inform Partha Sarati. Arthayami means I pray. This is the Prasmaipada. Through the object of the action is the self, and therefore Atmanepada would be more correct. Because verbs such as kur can be conjugated either as parasmaipada or atmanepada with the same meaning, according to the rules of the grammatical textbook called parayana. An example of the devotee as Udipan from the fourth canto. Dhruva Maharaj, seeing that these uncommon personalities were direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately stood up. But, being puzzled in hastiness, he forgot how to receive them in the proper way. Therefore, he simply offered obeisances with folded hands and chanted and glorified the holy names of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:12-21. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's devotees. One may sometimes become overwhelmed with joy by seeing a devotee of the Lord. When Dhruva Maharaj saw two associates of Narayana approaching him, he immediately stood up out of sincere respect and devotion and remained before them with folded hands. But because of his ecstatic love, he could hardly offer them a proper reception. Right? So because he's absorbed in the Lord, in the devotees, his chanting, then it becomes perfect because it's an exchange of relationship. Jiva Goswami. Vigyaya Tavu Uttama Gaya King Karao means understanding that the two persons were servants of the enemy of Madhu. End quote. But he actually understood they were principal servants of the Lord. The alternative, abhyudita, instead of abhyutita, same meaning, is taken in the text. This means that he rose up directly facing them. This verse is taken from the story of Dhruva. 21383. Another example. O Subal, please let us tell us where your dear friend Krishna is. While throwing side glances and doubt of the gentle smile and placing his arm on your raised shoulder while standing in the yard, he would inundate our eyes with waves of nectar. Srila Prabhupada. There is a statement by a gopi who addressed Subala, a friend of Krishna. My dear Subala, I know that Krishna is your friend and that you always enjoy smiling and joking with him. The other day I saw you both standing together. You were keeping your hand upon Krishna's shoulder, and both of you were joyfully smiling. When I saw the two of you standing like that in the distance, my eyes at once became overflooded with tears. 21384, an example of the days commemorating the Lord. Here are many astonishing festival days celebrating the Lord. Here or there? Because it's lacking at capital.
Should be there.
There, okay. However, the auspicious eighth titi of the waning moon of the month of Bhadra, Janmashtami, gives me great joy. Srila Prabhupada, special days for remembering Krishna. There are many statements about the festival days, festive days in connection with Krishna's different activities. One of these festival days is Janmashtami, the day of Krishna's birth. This Janmashtami day is the most opulent festival day for the devotees, and it is still observed with great pomp in every Hindu house in India. Sometimes even the devotees of other religious groups take advantage of this auspicious day and enjoy the performance of the ceremony of Janmashtami. Like that. Like you see, it means, you know, even like here, the locals, but Prabhupada has said before, the partition and all that kind of thing, then from all the different groups, so when it's Janmashtami, everyone would come for that. So any religious group would come, because that's a big festival, they're distributing food and everything, so it's a very nice and pleasant festival, so everyone would come. We used to have here, when the boys would do Julan, then all the locals, the laborers and that, and then, you know, after work they go home, take back, and then in the evening they come with their family.
Okay.
You know, like that, and take part in the festival. Okay. Ecstatic love for Krishna is also aroused on the days of Ekadasi, which are other festive days in connection with Krishna. Thus ends the first wave concerning Vibhava in the southern section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Okay. Do you have another book or not as yet? In any case, we finished it, so I want to put the marker across.
So Maharaj, all these symptoms are of stimulation for love for Krishna. But it seems that the main quality, the main ingredient to receive that is to have love.
Yes, it means that devotion. Devotion is then will be, because if you don't have devotion, you won't be in touch with that, that, because this is all happening on the platform of devotion.
Yes.
So unless you have devotion, you won't perceive it.
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nityananda Govinda Prabhupada ki.